You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Wicked.
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 Waka waka weep.
What?
Huh?
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. I'm Alex Albrecht.
I'm Allison Hayslip. And for about the next 30-ish minutes, Alex and I are going to have an adult beverage and chat about the interesting things that we found on the interwebs this week.
You know who else is going to be imbibing in an adult beverage?
Who?
The best sidekick on the face of the earth.
You lie.
I do. He's not here, but sitting in his chair is the one and only Tom Supervolcano Krajewski.
Hey,
how are you doing there, Tom?
How are you? Good. Good.
Well, how's everybody
Tom.
Been?
Yeah.
Good.
New week.
New fresh.
Week.
I know. We're like
fresh.
All like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed
not
this morning.
Not hungover today, surprisingly.
I know. I didn't drink last night.
Yeah. I didn't drink last night either.
I woke up so early this morning. Did you notice I was not late today?
That
I'm almost
was
always
rare.
A couple minutes late.
Yeah.
Today I was right on time. It's because I didn't drink
and
Friday
And by the
night.
Way, what? Not only on time, but done up.
Oh, yeah, because I have a brunch after this.
Yeah, because sometimes you'll be like, I'm a little late, and then you show up and you're like in pajamas still.
Yeah, and no makeup and yeah. whatever. But yeah, I actually have makeup on today.
I like it. You look
yeah.
great.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Look at this. This is the best day.
You mean I look great without makeup on, too, right?
Of course.
Good. Thank you.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Wonderful.
You just look great all the time.
Thank you.
This
there
is
we
why,
go.
Really, everybody at home, it is a shame, a crying shame, that this is not a video podcast. And not because of the guns sitting next to me on Supervolcano.
I know. Your arms, man.
Or the glorious bouffant on my head.
Your hair's
that
pretty
hair
phenomenal.
Is gorgeous.
But because your eyeballs don't get to consume Allison Hayslip.
But you know where your eyeballs can
yes.
consume all of this?
What a transition
That
slip.
Was really good, right?
That was great.
We didn't even plan that
I didn't
segue.
Even notice it. All of a sudden, I was like, I feel like we're talking about something else. Oh, my God. It happened.
I know. But we are going to do a live taping at WonderCon on March 25th. March 25th, correct?
March 25th, Friday.
9 p.m. Friday 9 p.m. at 9 p.m. So please have a few alcoholic beverages before you come.
We sure as hell will.
We will be doing that as well. And come watch. I'm assuming we'll actually be recording about an hour that day.
Probably.
Yeah. But come watch us do this live in person and see that we actually have no idea what we're doing anytime.
I'm just excited because, you know, we did that live show at Comic-Con and
it was great.
So sort of like, not spur of the moment last minute, but it really did feel sort of like, I have no idea what we're doing. We just showed up. We were like, let's just
and
make this happen.
They handed us mics
and literally,
bottles of wine.
Yeah.
And, they were
and
like,
we were
go.
Like, this is the best. First off, why do we not have them every week? Somebody that we just show up and like, our mics are set. I mean, like the mics
we
take
do.
5 seconds
about
to set up.
Our mics are set up. Unless your wife has a gig.
Yeah. And then she unsets up the mics, which is like, come on.
Yeah. Unsets up.
So rude to unset up mics. You can't unset up. Anything exciting and fun happen this week?
Well, I made an observation this week.
Ooh, I
just
love
one.
Those.
Just one observation over the whole
That's
week.
That's enough.
I went and saw a show. So I'm a season ticket holder to the Mark Taper Theater in downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah,
fancy.
I've been doing it for a couple of years. I highly recommend it if you live in LA. You get, I think, 6 shows for under $200.
Ooh, that's
and then
good.
It, yeah, and then it it guarantees,
especially at the taper.
Yeah, it guarantees that I go to the theater.
Yeah.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? And
yeah.
I actually go and support live theater, and that's one of the best ones in Los Angeles. It's great.
And it's hard in LA. Like, LA is a weird town
for
live theater.
Exactly.
Like, New York is like, you can't, you like come out of a bar and you're in live theater.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but here in LA, it's like, you gotta work on it.
And they put on some spectacular shows at the taper.
Yeah.
They also every once in a while put on a really fucking weird show, and I'm like, well, all right, I saw that. But, but it's still an experience, you know? So I went and saw one this past week. It was called, I think it's closing, so unfortunately I don't think, like, you might be able to catch it this week when you're listening to this.
Got it.
But it's called The Mysteries of Love and Sex, or The Mysteries of Sex and Love. I might be flipping those two words.
I saw somebody else that went to that on Twitter. I saw somebody that my buddy True was like, oh my god, you have to go down and see this.
And it's a really good show. But what I realized watching the show is I feel like any play mm-hmm. written after 2000
okay.
has to involve nudity.
I don't
think I've seen a play written after that year that doesn't involve some actors just completely stripping on stage.
What do you think about that? Like, so in, first off, for me, like, I'm not a prude, but it mostly in movies, most of the time I go, I didn't need to see the nudity in order to get the movie story.
Yeah.
But in live theater, it is one of the most uncomfortable things ever.
Well,
because I'm like, oh my God, that's a naked person. And mm-hmm. oh my God, and they're real. Yep. And they're right there.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me uncomfortable.
Both a man and a woman get naked.
Yeah.
Not at the
Whoa.
Same time, thankfully. I think that would honestly make me feel more.
Yeah, I've seen
awkward.
Like, I saw full on, my buddy was in a sex scene on stage.
Yeah.
What?
And I was like, I can't
no.
do this.
Yeah.
And then, and it's not, I mean, I'm not, you know. It male, female, either way, it's uncomfortable. You know what I mean? I'm not one of those dudes that's like, I see a penis, now I'm uncomfortable.
No.
It's just like any nudity, I'm like,
because
that's a boob. Her boob is out. Oh my God, somebody tell her.
It's because you immediately get uncomfortable for the person.
Hey, oh yeah,
100%. Yeah.
Which is weird because they're the least ones that care about it. They're like, hey, I'm naked on stage.
I don't know. That's not true.
Yeah,
that's not true at all. No,
really?
Because I've never gotten naked on stage, but I've definitely had to like
that
take off my
thing,
shirt and I'm in my bra.
Yeah.
And I remember in our dress rehearsal, the first time I did it, the instant I took my shirt off, I was like, oh,
I want to put this back on.
Yeah. I literally spaced on all of my lines.
Yeah.
Thank God it was a rehearsal. But like my brain just went blank because I was like, oh God, I'm in a bra in front of like in a huge
people.
Theater.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, there weren't a lot. I mean, there were people.
No, but even
not
if
ton.
It's like five people that you are just not sexually active with, you're like, what, can I put my shirt back on?
So I don't I would, you know, deign to believe. Is that a phrase?
I deign to believe it's a phrase.
Sure. Okay, why not?
I'm going to deign to believe that.
I'm sure the first time these people did it, it sucked.
Yeah.
And they freaked and whatever.
Yeah,
and then
I
think there's like a power behind it.
Yeah.
It's almost like what I was talking about when I went to the spa and everyone had their clothes on. And I was like, well, you know what? I'd actually be totally fine being naked.
Yeah.
I just don't want to make the other... like. Because I've gotten to the point where if I'm in a spa, I understand that I feel comfortable.
Right, yeah.
I'm sure those people have gotten to a point where if they're on a stage, they feel comfortable.
That's
and they understand it's for the art. And, you know, and neither one of them got naked in a overtly sexual way, you know. I think that's a difference, too.
But were they attractive?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. One of them was Mae Whitman, who was on Parenthood.
Who what?
Huh?
Mae Whitman.
Mae Whitman.
Oh, I know Mae, yeah.
Yeah.
Mae Whitman.
She was on Parenthood.
I know that name, yeah.
She's also
she
like
naked in that?
She's like a kid, yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah,
I know her personally. I'm gonna go see it.
Oh, you know her.
But that
not
brings
that
up another
well.
Thing. That becomes another thing where you're sort of like, what if your friend's an actress and you're like, I've seen you so naked.
I know.
I don't want to know that.
I know.
You know what I mean?
But
would you ever do nudity like in a movie? Because I also think about this with Heather, with like fucking Game of Thrones. I mean, it's like there's shit that's like high quality art where it's like yes, but you also have to show everything.
So this is my thing. I would. It would have to depend on a project-to-project basis and whatever.
Of course.
I have auditioned for things that would not necessarily require it, but they're like, we want to know if you're comfortable with it. And when you audition for those things, they have to tell you up front.
Of course.
And they will ask you most of the time on camera what you're comfortable with.
Right.
And my response is always, look, I would be Marjorie in Game of Thrones, but I would not be prostitute number three that Tyrion hooks up with.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I'm not going to be a naked sextra.
Right.
I'm going to be, I will be a character.
What's her name? Natalie Dormer?
Dormier, something like that.
Whatever.
Yeah.
She got on Game of Thrones and she literally got full frontal naked in her very first episode.
Yeah.
You've never seen her naked again. And she has one of the coolest fucking story arcs in the entire show.
Yeah, of course.
I would absolutely do that role.
Yeah, totally.
Margot Robbie in Wolf of Wall Street. Oh, yeah. Do you remember that she got full frontal naked?
I don't remember. She was in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, she's the blonde girl. She's the wife.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I mean. Almost no one remembers that she got naked because she was so fucking good in the movie.
Yeah.
And she was, and the character was incredible.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff like, well, also, I don't look like Margot Robbie naked, but, you know.
We'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. All right. This sounds like a challenge.
I don't know
Mr.
if I would be comfortable.
Skin.
Yeah. I don't know if I would be comfortable enough, like, being totally naked and walking out in front of Leonardo DiCaprio in a pair of heels. I'd probably, like, die of a brain aneurysm at that moment.
Yeah.
But
you'd have to rehearse that a lot.
Yeah.
In order to be like, yeah. I feel cool and sexy right now.
Right.
Instead of like, one of these heels is going to turn. Fuck.
Yep. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's
it would entirely depend on
the project. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But also live theater, I just think it should be, there's no.
Oh, well, no. My point was, is that I feel like the only way to up the wow factor in live theater for newer shows is to include nudity. It just seems to be like, that's the trend.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's almost like if you don't have that, then you're not even pushing, you're not even close to the boundary.
Well,
yeah.
I can't wait to see the next Seussical.
Oh my gosh.
That would be fantastic.
I saw Seussical when I was in college. A guy took me on a date to go see Seussical.
So terrible.
How did that go?
Well, you know what's hilarious is that it was one of these moments. I'm like inept at being able to tell when guys are into me or not.
Oh, okay.
And this was a big sign. And so he was like, yeah, I got these tickets and blah, blah, blah. I was like, all right, cool. And I went to my roommates. I was like, I don't know if it's a date. Is this a date? She's like, if he shows up wearing a tie, it's a date. And he came and picked me up at my dorm room.
Yeah.
Wearing a tie, and I was like, fuck.
Oh, you didn't want it to be a date?
No, I didn't want it to be a date.
Here's a hint. Anytime a guy asks you to do something with them, it's a date.
Yeah, but you don't know my life.
I don't know.
I have like...
And I don't mean like friends that you have like friends.
Right,
anybody,
right.
New guy in your life
that
asks you to do anything,
that is
a date.
Okay.
There is no world...
Shit, why am I just figuring this out in my
30s? There's no world in which a guy goes... You know what? I think she'd be cool to have dinner with. I mean, I'm not sexually attracted to her.
Right.
We should just go get dinner. That does not
happen.
Sad and true.
Unless they are gay, married, or married and want to still bang you. Seriously, that should be the...
Damn
I don't
it.
Know why don't girls not get that? I feel like guys, like every time I've been like, it's so
you
clear.
You know why? Because we want to believe that who we are as a person can trump what we are as a person.
No, but that
was really brilliant. Ooh, what
that
I
is,
just said.
That is. That's great. That's a new t-shirt.
I need to say it again.
Okay, say it again.
We want to believe that who we are as a person trumps what we are as a person.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree with that.
I got so excited I hit my teeth on the mic.
That's good. That's because you're thinking about who you are, not your teeth, which is what you are.
So I like to believe that I am cool. Yeah.
No, but here's the thing. Yes. But that doesn't mean that who you are isn't what is attractive about you.
Well, right, but I feel like what you're saying is like, if a guy is like, oh, you're cool and you have boobs, great, I want to date you or I take you on a date.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Isn't that how it works?
No, I'm just we
you're cool and you have boobs because and I like boobs because I'm a guy looking for a girl.
I don't know. I guess I just meet people and I'm like, okay, you're cool. Whether like beyond the fact of you being male or female, you're cool. You're a human being I want to hang out with. And then if I figure out that there's something else there, then I go, okay, maybe I'd want to date you.
Yeah. That's
or
not how guys
if you're
think.
Just beautiful, if you're just like a beautiful man who walks into my life and I'm like, oh, never mind. I don't care who you are. I like what you are.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys just don't. That's not a guy. That's not a thing.
I know. Yeah.
Guys are like, I have friends.
Yeah.
What I don't have is somebody to
see the problem with that is
hang out with.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
The problem with that is like any guy I start dating quickly realizes that I have a lot of male friends and it's really
That's tough.
They get to know a lot of guys.
It's hard for them to realize that like my guy like I legitimately my male friends in my life are not a threat to a relationship I would have in my life.
Of course.
Yeah.
But some guys don't understand that.
Right. Exactly. That's always a
guys
hurdle
are also,
I have to get over.
Guys are also... I mean, I put myself squarely in this category. Like, I'm a jealous motherfucker.
Are you really?
Oh,
really?
100%. 100%.
Like, I used to be. Now,
so
like, don't
funny.
Give a crap.
Well, no, I used to be.
I used to be. I'm just like,
no, I mean,
I'm happy.
I used to be way more. I mean, early in any relationship, I'm like...
Yeah, I can see
I'm
that.
Like a dark... jealous fucker.
Oh, wow.
I can see that because you're still trying to get to know them, see if they're cheaters or try to really get to
I don't know if this is good what I do. I mean, I'm single, so it's probably not. but what I try to do is like As soon as this is coming out of my mouth,
like,
it sounds
wrong.
This
is the bad thing.
But I try to incorporate my male friends into conversation as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So these people know that they are around, but also understand what the friendship is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'll talk about a buddy of mine and then immediately be like, oh, but he's like hooking up with this chick and it's a nightmare and blah, blah, blah. To be like, he's not a threat. He's got his own shit going on, but you need to know that he's a part of my life because he texts me 20 times a day, you know?
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
My wife has a lot more guy friends than girlfriends, and I think it's awesome.
That's why I like your wife.
Yeah, I wish she'd go hang out with those guys more so I can have time to play some Fallout.
There you go.
Amazing.
Please, honey, go hang out with your guy friends.
Please get some guy friend hang.
Guy friend hang.
Oh, God, I love it. It's weird. It's a balance.
Yeah.
And as you get older, you acquire more and more friends.
Although I feel like I'm at a point where I'm like, you know what? If I don't really like you, I don't need to put the energy in keeping you around.
Oh,
absolutely.
You definitely hit that level where you're like, you know what? What am I? The other thing is, it's sort of like, what am I getting out of this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's just a sort of one way street, it's like, I got a lot of two way streets I'd rather spend time with than one way streets.
Right.
I don't know exactly what that means.
I was just thinking,
I want to go spend time with this two-way street over here.
My buddy over here has got a two-way street, and I don't know what this one-way street is all
about.
This
just became weirdly sexual again.
Super weirdly sexual. Yeah. Hey, speaking of...
Weirdly
super
sexual?
Super weird.
Super weird? Segway?
Segway?
That wasn't as good as my segue.
That was actually pretty atrocious.
No, it was
This is
perfect.
Our segue.
I say so.
This is our segue.
We've totally sold out, and we have our first ad.
Yay!
I hope everyone's clapping for
us. The system works.
I'm so excited for this because I actually get this stuff.
Yeah, this is a great. It's so good that it's not like.
Yeah.
Diapers.
This episode, that'd be amazing.
Adult diaper. Yeah, no shit.
You guys, people listening at home.
Listen.
Subscribers. All you amazing human beings.
Wunderkinds.
This episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex is brought to you by Loot Crate.
Yeah, baby.
Loot Crate. Now, I'm hoping the majority of you just went, fuck yeah, Loot Crate.
Yes.
But for those of you who don't know what Loot Crate is.
Educate them.
I'm going to educate your minds right now. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear.
Yes.
Yes. Here you go. So for less than $20 a month, you get 4 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items, and so much more.
I'm so excited.
Okay, so I'll get through this and then I'll explain what I have. Okay, here's the deal. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, it's over. It's it. That's it.
So March 19th.
No, at the 19th of any month.
Right, but so like this month, you want March Box.
If you want March Box.
March Box, which has got to be amazing.
Yeah.
March Box.
You have to subscribe by the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time.
Pacific.
So those of you on the East Coast, you have till midnight on the 19th.
But don't push it. You'll go to sleep.
It'll
be like the gremlins of Lunchbub.
So real quick, here's...
you fed them before midnight.
I know, right?
Or after midnight.
It's after midnight everywhere.
It's always after midnight.
Okay, so to get your Loot Crate, make sure you head to www.lootcrate.com/HH.
For half hour happy hour.
Wait, yes. Well, just for half hour? It's only two H's.
I hyphenate everything.
Okay, great. And so go to www.lootcrate.com. That's LOOTCRATE.com/HH. Enter the code capital H. I'm sure the capitals don't matter, but I said it that way.
In case they do.
Yeah.
Enter the code HH and you get to save $3.
What?
On any new subscription.
What?
Yep. Okay. So here's the deal. Loot Crate is like a friend who knows you and you love and surprises you with an awesome present each month. They ship to over 27 countries.
Dude.
Yeah.
There's more than 27
right?
countries now?
What? I thought there was 12.
No. They're, what?
Atlanta.
Yeah, I know. But also, Loot Crate is also an entire community of fans that share their experience and they interact with each other around the unboxing of each month's crate. So, like, there's unboxing videos and things like that.
That's cool.
Loot Crate guarantees $40 plus in value in every crate, and sometimes it is a whole lot more. I've gotten some super awesome crates.
Yeah.
How many? You've gotten Loot Crates, right?
Not yet.
Are you serious?
I'm going to sign up right now.
Oh, you should. I've probably gotten like 4 or 5 Loot Crates in my life, and they're rad. Like the last one I got was a Star Wars themed Loot Crate.
Ooh.
So it gave me BB-8 luggage tags.
Oh, that's adorable.
A sweet T-shirt that was Han and Chewie playing What's the thing that they beat in 8 parsecs or 12 parsecs or whatever?
The Kessel Run.
The Kessel Run. They're playing amazing. They're playing a Kessel Run stand-up arcade game.
That's epic.
I got one of those.
I want that shirt.
Yeah.
What are those things? Those pop, like the big head dolls? You know what I'm talking about? Those
The pop head dolls? Yeah.
I got one of Finn.
Ooh.
I got a bookmark that it contains a cell of actual footage from the movie.
Holy crap.
Yeah, you get awesome shit with this stuff.
Also, doesn't the box unfold into something like a cool diorama?
And the box itself can be something. Yeah, it's so cool.
Oh, geez.
So every month there is a different theme and all items are curated around that theme. Themes are inspired by major movie and video game releases as well as pulling from pop culture franchises we all know and love.
Love it.
Previous crates have been Star Wars, like I said, mm-hmm. Marvel, The Walking Dead, The Legend of Zelda, and so many more. So March.
Ooh, Legend of Zelda.
So listen, people. This is March's loot crate.
Oh, they talk. We know.
We know what March's loot crate is.
Yeah. No longer a mystery.
The theme of March is versus. Celebrating some of the greatest rivalries in pop culture. Dark Knight versus Man of Steel.
Ooh.
Alien versus Predator. Spock versus Mirror Universe Spock.
Dude, Spock versus Dark Spock.
Or what if it was Spock versus Spork? That'd be hilarious.
What if it was Smock versus Spork?
Smock versus Spork? That's not in there.
It was an artist's smock and a spork.
And a spork, and they were like, what?
I guess this is why nobody wants to buy Alex's shitty crate, which you can get.
Okay. You guys, here's the big deal. The items are exclusive.
Ooh.
You can only get them through Loot Crate, and it always includes something you can display, something you can wear, and something you can use.
That's rad.
And then you always get a tee and a loot pin.
What? So, dude, I'm in.
Sweet. Yeah.
First sponsor, that's a good one.
That was a great one.
Chachanga.
Yeah. Like, what if we had to do, like, MailChimp or something like that? That's
not
cereal.
Not that we'd be against MailChimp, but
I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be harder to incorporate. Like, this one was fucking perfect.
It's very us. Yeah.
So thank you, Loot Crate, for choosing us. Oh, let me say the website one more time.
Yes, and thank you for choosing Loot Crate.
Yeah. Hey. www.lootcrate.com/HH and enter the code HH and you save $3 on any new subscription.
So much HHing.
It's rad. I got to be honest, you guys. This is how I did most, I'm not saying this is consciously how I did most of my Christmas shopping last year,
yeah.
But I was given so many of these loot crates and I was in all of them. There's awesome shit, but there's also some stuff where I'm like, I don't really need this. And I would save it. And cool. I gifted all of it during Christmas.
That's smart.
I was like, oh, this, I don't have to just randomly
that's
hold
so
on
smart.
To this.
Alex and I don't remember getting any of those presents.
I got you
Alex.
Guys awesome. Half hour, like the happy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what
I still have my half hour mug.
Good, you better. You should be drinking out of them all the time.
I should see if it
But my point is like out of all the shit you get in the loot crate, there might be one or two items you don't want, and then you use them as presents.
Perfect. I love it. So great. Sells itself. Hey,
it's great.
Let's have some emails.
Emails.
First off, this is one of these emails that I was just like, well, I have to read this. It just says, hi.
Hi.
What?
Dear
was
Allison,
it spam?
Alex,
oh, no.
And Super Volcano.
Yes.
I was told email. I do email from Joe.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
That's the email. Nice work.
I love it, Joe.
Nice work.
Joe basically just Rickrolled us,
so
and I'm okay
eloquent.
With it.
He did did what we all wanted him to do, which was email us.
Yeah.
Okay, so I
starred one.
You starred one.
Yeah, I actually went into our email account this week.
I might have unstarred it.
You're an asshole.
I love you. Well, because I was just setting it all up
for
today.
That should be a t-shirt. You're an asshole. I love you.
You're an asshole. I love you. It's what was written in the script for Star Wars.
Yes.
And Harrison, they all just changed
it. I love you. I know.
I know.
Yep.
Instead of, you're an asshole. I love you. What time is it? I feel like we got to get into some stories. 20 minutes in. So I'm going to get some emails that have stories.
Okay, good.
So that way we do both.
Great. I love it.
We do gun.
I love it. We do gun.
Email.
We do segue is what we do.
We do segue.
This episode is the segue episode.
Well, that one's about concussion. All right, let's try this one. Here we go. Time travel.
What?
Is possibly possible.
Oh, God. Don't.
This is an email.
Possible.
Don't tease me.
This is, by
don't
the way.
Don't tease me.
Everybody get your confusion hats. We're going to need them in a second. All right, here we go. This is from...
Can we make hats that just say confusion on them? And then we're like, hat of confusion.
Yes.
And put it
everybody needs a... That would be amazing.
Yeah.
We got to talk to some people. We got a lot of talking to people to do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We got to talk to so many people.
All right. This is from Maurice.
Maurice?
This is from Reese.
Oh, Reese.
Yeah.
Witherspoon?
No, not
time
too much.
Time travel, Reese.
Reese peanut butter
Terminator.
Cups?
Terminator.
Reese peanut butter cups. Reese's Pieces?
Yeah.
Yes. It's actually Reese Feces, which is a horrible name, but all right, here we go.
Reese Monkeys.
Dear Allison, Alex, and Super Volcano.
Yes, hi.
Long time listener, first time emailer.
Yay.
I knew the podcast before it was on Nerdist, hashtag hipster.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, by the way.
Old
so glad
school.
It's on Nerdist now.
Yeah.
I missed a whole chunk of the podcast when I recently started a new job, but suddenly forgot to enjoy myself in my downtime. I'm catching up by listening to this episode to all the episodes I missed in reverse.
Oh.
Newest first, oldest last.
Wow.
Proves to be an interesting way to listen. I listen on my drive to and from work. This is not necessarily the best decision. When I laugh or smile too hard, my eyes disappear behind my cheeks, and I go temporarily blind.
Aww, do you have those adorable gnome cheeks?
I'm surviving so far. Amazing. We're going to make her laugh, and she's going to squint
is
and
this
then
a woman?
Crash. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Reese a woman. Yay.
Reese a woman?
I guess Reese Witherspoon's a woman. For some reason, I hear the name Reese, and I think it's a guy.
Because of
Terminator, yeah.
Reese. Oh, bam. Good call.
He knows.
Boom.
We just fist pumped.
Yep.
I had to say it.
You didn't fist pump, you fist bumped.
Really? I called it. Oh, right. This is the
fist pump is what they do on the Jersey Shore.
Got it.
It's
fist
like
bump is a hit.
Fist bump.
I always call it fist pump. I don't know. Anyway,
nope, you're wrong.
Below is a link to an article I came across, and I thought,
ooh,
half hour should talk about this.
Well, we are
sending it in.
Yeah. Thank you, Reese.
A step closer to time travel? What does it mean? Possibly discuss and reveal all the answers. I trust you. You're scientists?
Yeah, we are.
Thanks for all the laughs. You're great, Reese. Okay.
Thanks, Reese.
All right. Alex, I just had this weird feeling that you're not recording the episode. Can you check and make sure you're recording
Yes.
the episode?
It's being recorded.
Great, okay. I don't know why I had this fear all of a sudden where I was like...
I am happy that you checked. I mean, you asked me to check and then I checked. It's better than being like, that was great. All right, see you later.
Exactly.
See you next week. And then tomorrow I'm like,
Hey guys, can you come back over? And
I'm just going to post 45 minutes of air of me just going,
ew.
Yeah, that'd be really bad. Okay.
Okay, what's going on with time
travel? Here's the story. Time runs like sin film.
Sin? What does that mean?
And you are trapped forever in each moment, physicists say.
What is sin film? Can you spell that word?
Yeah, C-I-N-E.
Oh, cinef. No, cinna, like a cinema.
There's no A, right? Isn't the A the cinna?
No.
Cine?
Cinema. Cine. No, cinema is C-E-N-E-M-A.
Yeah, but I think it's
so that's
technically pronounced cinema.
Cinema. Well, whatever. But cine film. You're saying we're stuck in...
It's, all right. Time... let me just get into it. It'll make sense.
All right.
It's just a title. I'm not a scientist.
Yeah, but
I'm a scientist.
9 times out of 10, right. You read a title, and I literally don't know what the words coming out of your mouth.
Right, yeah. But that's because it's bad titling.
All right.
Here we go.
It's a title.
Time throughout the universe is like a giant flicker
bless
book.
You. Yeah.
Bless you.
Flicker book?
Flicker book. Which can be broken into
an almost
infinite number. They know what that means.
Right.
An almost infinite number of separate moments, scientists say. So prior to this theory, scientists believed and physicists believed that time was a like flowing linear constant.
Yeah.
What they're now theorizing is that it's not actually a constant, but it is... definitive length moments that we experience like film.
Yeah.
Film is 24
frames
moments
per second.
Every second.
Yeah.
But while we watch it, we perceive it as a consistent, flowing, uninterrupted thing.
Right. By the way, do you know why it's 24 frames per second?
Doesn't it have to do with the human eye?
Yeah. It takes...
No, but the human eye is 30 frames a second or 60 frames a second.
No. There is a reason. Yes. Yeah. It's the way that it's the amount of time it takes the light to travel from the front of your eye to your brain and register is like, you know, a fraction of a second. But that's why television looks different than film. You play with how many frames your eye sees makes it look different. So film being 24 frames per second gives it that cool film look.
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely, that's why when you see like TV stuff and it's shot at like, which by the way is another reason why I hate that.
Motion flow.
Fuck you, motion flow.
We talked about that. Didn't we save a lot of people by talking about motion flow on this podcast?
And how to turn it off at your parents' house.
Yeah.
Like save your parents.
Motion flow,
turn off
auto,
motion flow.
Whatever.
Auto adjust.
Yeah.
Cinema speed.
Yeah.
All that's bullshit.
Yep.
Turn everything off. Anyway, so they came up with this idea that a purely theoretical idea that the shortening of the shortest length of time, because before time was just a constant thing.
Right.
So you couldn't say, like, well, the shortest length of time, it's infinitely short. You could keep having
it, as they say. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, they theorized that the amount, that the shortest amount of time possible is an infinitesimally small Planck constant. Or Planck constant,
no,
which is based on...
P-L-A-N-C-K,
yeah,
right?
Max Planck.
Yeah.
Or Planck.
I said Planck.
Planck, whatever. Yeah. Planck, Planck, to my other mind.
What is Planck's constant again?
It doesn't say. It's very small. Infinitesimally small. But here's the thing. There's now this research that was carried out at the University of Waterloo and the University of Lethbridge in Canada and one in Egypt that believes that the minimum... unit, the smallest unit of time is actually much bigger than the Planck constant or the Planck constant.
Woo.
And so that they basically say, we think that there is a, like, we will be able to find out what the smallest moment of time.
Like a millionth of a second or whatever.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But that we will be able to set it and say, that's it. But then that would allow us to precisely calculate when certain things are happening in the past or in the future.
What?
Because rather than it being this constant just flow, it actually is a calculable
You can say, I
moment.
Need to go back to October 23rd
right.
in 1984 or
and
whatever
you could actually
year it was
do the mathematic,
they did it in.
You could actually do the mathematical calculations to see how many time units back that actually would be.
Right.
But the crazy thing is now they're theorizing that we are existing in each of those moments perpetually.
Right.
But that we are perceiving it
as our own
flowing.
One linear thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But that we are, at any given moment, we're just seeing the sliver.
Like when you take a cell from a film, like the one I just got in my Star Wars
loot crate.
when you take that cell, like that image is perpetually... existing in that cell.
Right. And so that they're starting to theorize that that's how time works.
Oh, weird.
Oh, but okay.
Yeah.
So that
we're all in each of those moments at every given time, but that we as a human being perceive it as flowing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Nuts balls.
We needed more booze for this conversation.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I was a little too sober.
Right.
I don't know about that. But sober.
Yeah.
I mean, look, anything that that can get us to time travel.
We're down with it.
Yeah,
right.
We are down with
it.
So
like,
have you heard the time travel theory of the fact that the reason why the reason why we've never seen anybody who's like, I'm from the future, besides fucking crazy people.
Right.
Because the way that time travel could function is that you can only ever go back to a time where time travel exists.
Oh,
like Primer.
Like Primer, yeah. What? So basically,
we've talked about Primer on the show before, right?
Probably.
Everyone should absolutely watch Primer. My buddy David Sullivan is one of the leads in it. It was a film
that won,
I think, the 2007 Audience Award at Sundance or something like that. It's so good.
Yeah, it's really good.
But the idea is they can only travel back in time to when they've primed the machine.
Kind of like Quantum Leap. Yeah. You could only go back to any point in his life, I think. Wasn't that
That's
was?
Definitely not true because he would go back to like the 40s. And
he's an old guy.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But no, so that's one of the big theories of time travel. Is the reason why we haven't seen time travelers is because
time travel hasn't been invented. Yet.
But the moment time travel is invented... essentially, some dude could be like, knock, knock, knock. Hey, what's up? It's me from the future.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, what would you do? Like, if you could go back in time, is there any single thing that you can think of in your life that you'd be like,
I would
like to warn myself or...
Oh, boy.
God.
You know what I mean?
It's so hard because I feel like all the big fuck-ups in my life have led to me really learning and changing.
True.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? I don't think I could take one of those... out and then still be the same person.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
So you would not change anything.
I just need more time to think about that.
Yeah. Well, hey, now the time machines exist.
Yeah.
You can have all the time in the world. Tom, any moments that you'd be like,
I agree with Allison. I've always thought that too. It's like, you know, I'm pretty happy the way I am now.
Yeah.
And I messed up a lot, but it got me here. So I don't think, no.
Yeah.
I think for me, I might go back and be like, seriously, dude, you should buy a lot of Microsoft stock right now and just keep it. You know what I mean?
Like, really? Microsoft and not Apple?
Well, Microsoft's up to a point. I mean, but Microsoft, you could buy Microsoft way before you could purchase Apple.
Well, right. But there was a, I feel like we talked about this on the show, but this was maybe not even a year ago.
Plus, if you're a guy who buys, and then I'll get back.
Okay.
But if you're a guy that buys Microsoft back when Microsoft was like just coming out.
Yeah.
And then keeps it for a long time and then sells it, you're not going to get any insider trading dings from the SEC. Whereas if I go, well, I know that like Apple stock is going to go IPO at whatever and I get to get in and then it goes crazy and then I sell, maybe I knew something.
Right.
So it's like that's the way that you can use time travel without being a guy who like wins the lottery.
When the iPod came out, it was something like $347 or something like that.
Yeah. Right. That sounds about right.
Yeah. If you had actually just invested that $347 into Apple stock, 10 years later, you would have made like 20 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or something.
I'm talking about like 20 mil.
Well, no. But that's what I'm saying. Why not Apple stock then?
Well, yeah. I mean,
that was just the article's example.
So anyway, I would maybe do something like that, but not. Yeah. I wouldn't.
But here, you know, what everyone talks about is going back and killing Hitler, like the worst person our modern world has ever really known.
Yeah,
but
sorry, I was thinking about what I would do now.
I got something. Our planet would be so significantly different, and we don't know what that outcome would be.
That is one of the.
I'm not saying I'm opposed to it. No. It's just like you just don't know what that would do.
Well, yeah, and that's the big sort of thing. The big think thing is, what if the ramifications of doing a little something, and we have no idea how it's going to change.
Butterfly effect. Yes. The Ashton Kutcher movie, The Butterfly Effect.
The Ashton Kutcher effect.
I would go back and punch AIDS in the face. Stop AIDS.
Stop
AIDS. How would you would like find the one AIDS monkey?
I would know what to do.
But then patient one or zero.
Rent the musical.
Okay. See? Look at these ramifications. Yeah. Oh my God, that's so fucking funny.
I know.
Yeah, I wonder what. Yeah, there's always these ramifications that you don't
even know
about.
I feel like if I could time travel, I'd rather go to the future.
You wouldn't have rent.
go to the future.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I want to see what the future is going to be like.
Yeah, but then what if it's like Tomorrowland where you go to the future and it's just a desolate wasteland and you're like, I don't know how it happened.
Did you see Tomorrowland?
So there's.
I did.
Wow.
Did you not?
No, you're like literally the only human being
I know who saw
Tomorrowland.
The reason why I saw Tomorrowland was because I was like, it can't be that bad. And then I saw it and I was like, there's actually some really fun stuff in it. I mean, it's a mess.
Yeah.
Right.
But there's some fun. I mean, no, going in knowing this
you
is a mess.
It was going to be terrible.
Yeah. I was like, There's some fun stuff. The whole house sequence.
Yeah. Brad Bird's a good director sometimes.
Yeah, dude. The whole house sequence was fantastic. I love this concept. Actually, it's very Moonbase-y. It's this concept.
Like our Moonbase?
Yeah, it's a concept.
The whole
concept.
On the moon?
Yeah, on the moon.
With the circle
one.
K?
With the circle K.
And the Sextopia?
And Sextopia.
Yes.
We're not even going to have it be a red light district. It's a full on blue
Sextopia.
Light district.
Everybody can go there. Was I having sex with Channing Tatum? Was that who I said I was going to have sex with?
I think it was Channing Tatum.
Very cool.
All right, I'll stick with that.
I totally watched Magic Mike 2 this week. What?
Hey!
No, Magic Mike XXL, I should have said.
I was going to say, and this is the first time you've seen Magic Mike XXL?
Yeah, I feel like
that's a day and date
for Allison. I saw the original Magic Mike, but it took me a while to see Magic Mike XXL. Talk about them. They were like, how do we want to make a movie that has a lot of like awesome sexy dance scenes.
Yeah.
Let's figure out a plot.
Yeah.
The plot of the movie is literally like male entertainers going on a road trip.
Amazing.
And then dancing in various locations.
It's like the unfunny Zoolander.
Yeah.
Like they just get in the car and go like gas shopping.
Yeah.
Like fill up their tank.
Yeah, basically.
Say hi to people, get fuzzies.
But you know what? The dancing is fucking awesome.
I can only imagine. Yeah. That is literally what that movie is about.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Steven Soderbergh. I love Steven Soderbergh. He's just sort of like.
Well, he didn't direct this one.
No, I know. But yeah. I mean, the first one, he's like, let's just make a movie about male strippers.
Well,
and every woman in the world was like, finally!
Yeah. But that's Channing Tatum's actual story.
No, I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then it's just like, let's just franchise this shit.
Yeah.
This is Thunder from Down Under. The new.
I know.
But by the way, you better believe there's going to be themed Magic Mike male shows in Vegas.
Yep.
And if they haven't already, you're welcome, Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah, there you go.
I love giving people ideas.
All right, should we do one more story?
What are we doing? Okay.
Yep.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So we talked about Dyson spheres.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
This weird area where we were like, what? We don't know what's going on
Wait,
now.
You have to refresh my memory. I don't remember what
the Dyson
sphere is.
So remember we did that story, might have even been last week, about the, well, no,
the
no, an- don't.
the alien star thing. We're like, what is that weird flickering around?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got it. Plan. You guys have to remember that I'm drunk every episode, so I don't remember what the fuck we talk about. Like, literally, people ask me what the podcast is about, and I'm like, we talk about the random stuff on the internet. They're like what? I'm like, and the only story I remember.
You're like, wine?
The only story I remember is the Russian guy who drank too much vodka and died, ended
and
up in the morgue,
the
and then came back to the party.
I love that. That is so great.
Okay,
so,
Dyson Sphere.
So the whole concept was we found this star that was flashing erratically.
Right.
And we were like, what is that? And they kept trying to think of like what could possibly make it flash erratically.
Right.
And one of the theories that actually would fit, and it's the only sort of working theory that can fit because the last one was a comet, and they finally disproved that.
Right.
So this one, the last sort of existing theory is it's an alien megastructure being built.
Right.
And the concept was it's a Dyson sphere, which is the whole thing of you build a sphere around the outside of a star.
And then you suck the power
out
of it.
Or just harness.
Harness
is a little bit better than suck the power out of it.
The energy of the sun.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally. Like harness, full on harness.
Yeah.
Like skip the whole, it's got to come to Earth before. It's like we just had this long cable going from the sun to the Earth.
Right.
And it's just constant. We just got the energies.
Yeah. Cool.
Which, by the way, we got to start doing because I think it's a great idea. Anyway,
now, yeah,
they have just announced mystery repeating radio signal discovered emanating from unknown cosmic source.
What?
Wow.
Yes.
A radio signal.
Oh,
radio
my gosh.
Repeating.
You guys.
Oh, as in they're trying to send a message.
Don't know.
An SOS.
No idea.
Or like,
it is.
What's up, Earthlings?
So repeating signals coming from a mysterious source far beyond the Milky Way have been discovered by scientists.
Wait, what website is this?
It always turns out to be some interference or something,
IBT,
Alex.
IBT Times, UK, listen to UK Magazine.
All right.
I will be the skeptic here. It's going to be garbage. It's nothing.
Garbage.
No. But listen
wait
to this. Listen to this.
While
one-off fast radio bursts, or FRBs, have been detected in the past, this is the first time multiple signals have been detected coming from the same place in space.
Ooh.
All right.
By the way, this just came. This is like just this just dropped like 2 days ago.
Okay.
Fact.
V'ger.
So FRBs are radio signals from deep space.
Yep.
That last just a few milliseconds. Since their discovery over a decade ago, scientists have been searching for more to try to understand where they come from. At present, several theories as what they could be, with most involving some cataclysmic event, right? So like supernova or a neutron star collapses into a black hole, these fast radio waves
zip out. Yeah.
And we hear them. We're like, oh, shit, what was that?
Yeah.
But those are not repeating.
Help me.
Never repeating.
Help me.
Gotcha.
Help me.
Never repeating. All of the events seen so far have appeared to be one-offs, with subsequent observations failing to find follow-up bursts.
Okay.
Coming from the same position as the original. However, an international team of researchers has now discovered an additional 10 bursts coming from the same section of space.
Yes.
Wow. How do we decode these? What do they mean? Like, if it's a radio frequency or
something.
Well,
they're super fast. They're fast burst radio frequency. So it's like milliseconds.
Okay.
Radio burst.
What if it was never going to give you up, never going to let you
down? Actually, you know,
fucking
the funny thing is,
just rickrolled us.
Literally, that could happen because theoretically, if something bounces back at the exact like direction and it hits us again, it could very well be something we sent out.
Yeah, we're like, we've rickrolled ourselves.
That's actually that's a good movie, a good concept for a movie.
There you go.
It's like Contact, but then you just find out it's us the entire time. it's kind of
a
disappointing movie. Yeah,
it would be more like Twilight Zone.
Yes.
Like, we find contact, the world implodes, and, like, everyone...
Everybody thinks it's aliens, and then
exactly.
Thing comes up, and it's like, sandwich ready at McDonald's window, too.
Yeah.
You're
exactly.
That's the radio wave that came back?
Shit.
Was somebody's drive-through
you
order
guys,
at McDonald's?
What if we're, like jokingly chronicling mankind's
experience
of contacting first contact.
That would be now that's a movie.
Right? Like
the
what
idiot podcasters that joke around about the beginnings of the end of the world due to alien takeover.
But somehow combined all the right articles into us realizing that there's something happening out there.
Yeah, that's a little bit like the conspiracy theory. Wasn't that a movie called The Conspiracy Theory?
I'm sure there was,
with
but
Mel
I don't
Gibson
know
and Julian Roberts.
Yeah.
Where like he's a crazy conspiracy theorist, but he stumbles into the right one.
Right.
And then everybody tries to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
what
love
if that's
it.
Us?
What if that's us?
We can never leave the garage.
Oh.
Heather, bring more wine.
And guns. And guns. All the guns.
Just remember, it's the half hour happy hour with Alex and Allison. I had nothing to do with this.
Tom's like, my name is not on this project.
Amazing. All right, people. I think that's enough. That's enough science for 1 week.
Wait, I have one question.
Shoot.
Did the Oakland Raiders survive this past week?
Survive what?
Us talking about them.
Oh, they did. Yeah.
Well,
hey, no news is good. Good news with Gary Gannu.
Wonderful. We still have an Oakland Raiders team.
Yeah, this is great.
We're chronicling mankind's journey to first contact.
Slow demise into first contact.
You guys are going to buy loot crates, www.lootcrate.com/HH, and use the code HH for a discount.
Bam. I'm going to use the code HH.
You guys are going to come see us at WonderCon.
WonderCon.
On March 25th at 9 p.m. That's a Friday at 9 p.m. Come have a few drinks.
Hayslip's got the facts on the show.
I do. I'm just...
Alcohol opens
Allison
up for
Facts
brains.
Hayslip.
Hey, Allison Facts Hayslip, how do I get contact with this show?
Hey, guess what? If you want to email us and tell us how much you love us or how much you don't love us or how much we're wrong about all the stuff we talk about, do it.
We take criticism.
Why not? Email us at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com.
Very good.
You can follow us on Twitter, halfhourhappyhr.
Mm-hmm.
And I think and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, through Nerdist, all the fun little podcast apps.
Yeah.
They should carry us.
Done.
I'm pretty sure we're up there.
I think so.
The Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. Tell your friends about it. It's amusing.
I love it.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, that's it for this week's show. What do we say? That's it.
What is,
God,
who,
I was going
who
so
are
well.
You? Who are you?
Oh, yeah. That's it for this week's edition of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. I'm Allison Aisler.
And I'm Alex Albrecht. With us through this whole process
has been.
Was the man.
Yes.
Thank you.
The myth, the legend, Tom Supervolcano Krajewski.
And we will see you.
We'll see you guys
We'll see
next
you at WonderCon.
Week.
I mean,
next
and then
week.
Next week.
Next
then
week.
WonderCon.
Next week. WonderCon's not yet. Next week.
I love everybody.
Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.